You're listening to Midlife Side Quest, the over-the-hill gaming podcast. Here's your host, John Wall.
It's March 26, 2026, and welcome to episode 177 of Midlife Side Quest, the over-the-hill video game podcast. I am your host, John Wall, and every Thursday morning I bring you 15 minutes of video game impressions, industry news, and Tales of a Gen X Geek. Thank you for tuning into the program this morning. On this week's show, I'm going to be talking about what to expect from the next Xbox and PlayStation consoles. But we start the show with a look at the headlines from this past week. And this week has shown that no amount of success can protect developers from greedy stockholders and incompetent leadership. Two of the biggest names in gaming, Epic and PlayStation, announced layoffs again this week. The big one is from Fortnite and Unreal Engine maker Epic, who announced 1,000 layoffs, which is a ridiculous number, as well as other cost-cutting measures to combat what they say are dropping engagement numbers in Fortnite. And this is despite Fortnite still bringing in $4 billion in revenue last year and being one of the most played games in the world, and CEO Tim Sweeney having a personal net worth of over $5 billion himself. But, you know, times are tough. Not to be outdone, Sony announced an additional 50 layoffs, as well as the closing of first-party development studio Dark Outlaw, which was only just formed last year and was still in early development of their very first game. And this comes just weeks after Sony shut down studio Bluepoint and continues to just struggle after their disastrous pivot to live service games. Both of these companies threw out excuses like a challenging development environment or broader economic headwinds. And while those are definitely things, you know, I think with both of these publishers, we're seeing a pattern of poor leadership and short-sighted decision-making. And once again, the developers who are in the trenches making the games are the ones who pay the price. So I think it's safe to say that we have kicked off the unofficial race to next-gen consoles. Microsoft was at GDC recently talking about Project Helix, their next console, which will play both Xbox and PC games and is widely expected to launch in 2027. And while Sony has hinted at the possibility of delaying their next console into 2028 or even beyond, there have been lots of rumors recently that they may still try to get it out the door next year as well. If that happens, we are likely only about a year away from full reveals of these consoles. So I thought it would be interesting to discuss both what I'd like to see from these machines as well as what we should actually expect. Now, historically, console launches have been some of the most exciting times for gaming enthusiasts. Powerful new hardware, flashy features, and loads of new exclusive launch games to play. But to me, it feels like a new generation of consoles has never felt more unnecessary. For me, the days of exclusive games that you need to buy new hardware for seems like the distant past. Xbox basically did away with that when they launched the Series X. And despite initially proclaiming that they, you know, believed in generations, PlayStation changed their tune pretty quickly after only a couple of PS5 exclusives. So I would be surprised to see many if any at all, games that are exclusive to these new consoles. Well, if you're not buying a new console for the exclusive games, the other reason you would usually do it is for the leap in power. But really, I feel like that promise has diminishing returns since, you know, the PS4 and Xbox One generation. If I'm being honest, I truly don't need the actual graphics to be any more powerful than they are right now. I mean, I just finished Resident Evil Requiem. Games look incredible right now, and I really don't yearn for a day when, you know, they become so photorealistic that they're indistinguishable from movies. That's just boring. So then you're talking about, you know, performance, resolution, and features. Many games are already running at 60 FPS. You know, maybe you can bump things up to 120 with the new machines, and that'll, you know, that's definitely nice, but that's something that's really only going to be distinguishable to a small percentage of players. I personally still have a hard time differentiating between 30 and 60. You know, my eyeballs are getting old. And while you can certainly slap, you know, 8K on a box to show that your machine can run games at that resolution, that's really not going to matter to very many people at all for a long time. I would argue that the greatest capabilities to come from the current gen of consoles had really nothing to do with graphics at all, but they were things going on under the hood. Both PlayStation and Xbox were able to greatly reduce, if not eliminate, load times altogether. And the MVP of next-gen features has been Quick Resume. Both of these features get you into your games faster without having to stare at load screens for a long time, and it's been great. But those still, you know, aren't very sexy features. You can only get so excited about Xbox doubling the amount of games that you can have in suspend mode, you know, all at once. So where does that leave us? If the launch lineups are mostly going to be cross-generational and the visual enhancements are likely going to be less dramatic than ever before, what are they going to pitch us on to get us to shell out what is, you know, widely expected to be anywhere from $800 to $1,000 for these machines? You know, a lot of people would have you believe it's going to be AI. I wouldn't be surprised to see either company pushing AI big time on the new hardware, especially Microsoft, but, you know, judging from the reaction to the recent NVIDIA DLSS5 reveal, those features are likely to be both sloppy and very unpopular. So I guess I'll tackle Xbox and PlayStation each individually to talk about what I actually want from them. For Microsoft, they need to find a way to make a console appealing when you aren't going to need it to play their games. I think the ability to play PC games is a big first step. As someone who finds a lot of the indie games on PC appealing, but I can't stand actually gaming on PC, this is probably the single most exciting feature for me. It's going to open up a whole new wealth of experiences, and I'm curious what the specifics of this whole plan, this whole idea, are going to look like. I think they also need to get back to the early days of this gen when they were out there really pushing for consumer-friendly policies. They were all about, you know, backwards compatibility, free next-gen upgrades, cross-platform play, and buying a game one time and owning it everywhere. They pushed for these things when, you know, the other teams didn't want to do them. And if they are going to win back the goodwill of the gaming community, they need to return to this mindset. And I really think they can start by finally making online multiplayer free. I think that's step number one. And if you aren't going to need the next Xbox to play their games, they need to make you want to play them there. And I would go hard on making the Xbox a vibrant social platform. People yearn for the goofy features of the Wii, you know, the Wii Plaza, the silly polls that they would do, the me-making contests, hell, the Weather Channel. If I was Microsoft, I would create this ever-evolving, changing social space with Xbox avatars and a weekly lineup of games that use those avatars. And yes, that includes 1 versus 100. You know, create a place for you and your friends to come together and hang out and play a few of these more casual games together in between rounds of, you know, Arc Raiders and Halo. For PlayStation, I think it's a little more tricky for me personally. I'm in the minority where I've built my library of games on the Xbox, and I prefer to play on the Xbox. So I'm going to need some really solid reasons for me to drop almost $1,000 on a PS6. And unfortunately, if they continue down the same path as the PS5, the games just aren't going to be enough. I think this has been one of the weakest generations they've ever had for first-party releases. You know, not that there haven't been any great games, but there have been just, it's been few enough that in hindsight, I probably would have been fine not having a PS5 this generation. I think they've lost their identity a little bit, and they need to get back to what made me love PlayStation in the first place. You know, fun. Before, everything was a very serious, very realistic-looking open-world, third-person action adventure. You know, they were one of the most colorful and creative companies out there. Jumping Flash, Parappa the Rapper, Jak and Daxter, Cool Borders, Crash Bandicoot, Sly Cooper, Busta Groove, Ape Escape, Jet Moto. I want to smile again when I play a PlayStation game, because if they can't find that mojo again, this might be the first PlayStation generation I skip since the PS1. Other people are expecting out of next-gen console. So I went on Blue Sky and I asked some people. JT says that his expectation is that they are going to be luxury products and that I won't be able to afford them at launch or maybe ever. Shishi Shibumi says, if Project Helix has these features, I will be a happy camper. Good FSR equivalent and auto upscaling. Play games from your Steam, Epic, and full Xbox library, and keeping fast load times, quick resume, and console-style ease of use. That's what I'm hoping for, too. And Hushed Pixel says, affordability is my number one, which is looking to be an unreal expectation. So, you know, it seems like everybody is bracing for some very expensive consoles, and I'm curious to see how that goes over at a time when everything from, you know, rent and food to gas and insurance are getting just more and more expensive. Thank you for listening to Midlife Side Quest. I appreciate you making time in your day to hang out with me. You can catch a new episode every Thursday morning wherever you listen to podcasts, and you can support the show by subscribing and leaving a review. Hey, next Tuesday is Transgender Day of Visibility. Don't forget to look for events in your town and show your support for the trans community and show them some love. Until next time, I'm your host, John Wall. Have a great rest of your week, and don't forget to save.